Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Hello, Athletic NBA Show listeners. I'm Dave DeFore. I wanted to share some exciting news with you. The NBA Daily Ding is moving permanently to the Athletic NBA Show feed. That's right. Monday through Friday, you're going to be able to catch up on all of the previous night's action in the time it takes to make coffee. Fancy coffee. So join me, Andrew Schleck, Trevon Edwards, Keith Parrish, Jared Weiss, our special guests, and your favorite Athletic beat writers as we break down the previous night's action and all of the news from the day before. Your friends are going to think you're a basketball genius. Be sure to tell them why, though. Make sure you check us out Monday through Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for the NBA Daily Ding.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bing bong!
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
Bing bong!
Tell me a little something, KD. Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
Let's go, Knicks! Let's go,
Bing
Knicks!
Bong! Welcome go, to Point Knicks! Of Contention. Let's five go, subjects, go. 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. Jay Hoyer is producing. Coming up on the show, Heat culture is back. The Celtics collapse. A ball of confusion. Jazz on the clock, and Pippen speaks in this corner. From the soft streets of Longmeadow, Massachusetts, Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book Smart Decisions, A Celtics Guide to Good Offense. It's Jay the Kid King. Jay, bing bong or ping pong?
I don't get the whole bing bong thing. Like, I watched the video. I saw the guy say bing bong. Let's all relax on bing bong. It is not that cool.
Oh, tight, tight, tight. Yeah.
Julius Randle. Banks it in. Bing bong. Julius Randle.
Bing bong.
Tell me a little something, KD. Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
No. Mike Green. Not Mike funny. Green christened it. No, it Mike is, Green christened it.
It is not what everyone's making it out to be.
It
ping
is.
Pong. Ping pong. Team ping pong.
Wow. Are you good at ping pong?
Oh, yeah. I was a legend. I mean, I'm still a legend.
I'm still a legend. Great quote.
I'm still a legend.
And in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. Still don't have a copy of that sent my way. It's the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, LaMelo, or is it time to talk about James Wiseman?
Oh, it's definitely time to talk about James Wiseman, baby.
Uh-oh.
LaMelo is coming to town.
Uh-oh.
Which, you know what? It was so irritating yesterday. I'm sorry. I don't do Twitter debates and arguments, but I got people telling me we can't talk about this. It's too early. What?
Talk about
Are
whatever
you kidding
want.
Me?
Yeah.
First off, talk about whatever I want. But secondly, it's never too early to compare draft picks. What are you doing?
And yeah.
LaMelo is ridiculous. Like,
people are going back. People are having revisionist stuff going. Well, now it looks like the debate over Zion versus Ja Morant has been settled. It's like, what debate? There was no debate. No one was saying, Ja Morant should go number one. No one was talking about that. There's no debate.
It's unbelievable, this concept. But
it's crazy.
It's time to talk about Wiseman because he is on the clock. Now we're just trying to salvage it. Uh-oh. We're just trying to salvage it. That's all.
LaMelo would look so good on the Warriors. He would have been so much fun.
Yo, man, they'd have to trade Steph. They'd have to get him out of there. Couldn't have him together.
Nah, just move Steph to two. Just move Steph to two. Get LaMelo's assists up. It'd be great.
Oh, be back to his Davidson roots right there. You know,
you know what I'm saying?
Play the two. Yeah, absolutely.
LaMelo's just Jason Richards. That's all he is.
And then just to remind everybody, in case you're not sure on the timing of this, we're recording this the morning before LaMelo plays the Golden State Warriors, which is the day after the Atlanta Braves won the World Series by knocking the bubble champ Los Angeles Dodgers out of the NLCS and then the cheating Astros out of the World Series. So just want to remind everybody the timing of this podcast. When we're recording this, LaMelo versus the Warriors tonight, which was last night for you, which then means 2 days ago is when the Atlanta Braves won the 2021 World Series. I just want to remind everybody of the timing of that, okay?
Have you always been a Braves fan? You just picked that up when they got good. I've never heard you tout the Braves.
I picked that up when
I mean, they got good 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
So it wasn't even
exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, my dad's from Atlanta. I spent my entire childhood watching them on TBS. I go back to the days of Charlie Lee Brandt, who you don't even fucking know of. Ronnie Gant before he was Ron Gant. Otis Nixon.
I was just going to say, if you don't mention Otis Nixon, you can't possibly be a Braves fan.
Sid Bream sliding after Francisco Cabrera, the young man out of nowhere getting that hit against the Pirates. Get the fuck out of here, Jay King, with your fake Patriots hat and your fake Patriots love. I mean, I don't want to see that. Let's see how it is now that Bill Belichick doesn't have his scapegoat, doesn't have the reason he's good.
They've clawed back to 500. Maybe Mac Jones is the one.
Oh, there's the standard you want to have if you're a Patriots fan. We've clawed back to 500. Congratulations. You're like a game ahead of the Jets. All right, Jay, start the clock. We're talking about real sports culture here. We're talking about Heat culture. Heat culture is back, baby. At the time of this recording, the Miami Heat are tied for the best record in the league at 6-1. The Heat continued their hot start Tuesday night as they cruise to a 125-110 victory over Luka Doncic and Dallas Mavericks. Red hot Tyler Hero.
Gives a crossover. Hero. Oh, that was beautiful. What a shot. Tyler Hero gets it to go.
Led the way with 25 points to help Miami extend their win streak to 5 games. 4 different players registered at least 22. For the first time in franchise history, Hero had 25, Butler with 23, Kyle Lowry and Bam Adebayo both with 22 points. Jay, the Heat take on the Celtics later tonight, so you'll get a good chance to dissect this team. But is this Heat team for real, or is this just lightning in an early season bottle?
The Heat are for real. First of all, Kyle Lowry makes a huge, huge difference. Their offense has been fantastic. Tyler Hero is the real deal. Like, he's another example that guys don't just develop in straight lines. He was great his rookie year in the bubble. Came back, really struggled with teams focusing more on him. Now he's a clear front runner for sixth man of the year. And, like, that's a weapon to have him off the bench with how efficiently he's playing.
I don't know if it was teams focusing on him last year so much as he was kind of full of himself because he got into a Jack Harlow song. I think that might have been more of that than anything. But Marcus, are you in on this Heat culture revival?
Dude, their net rating is 16.4. Like, it is insane how good. I'm not in because it's too good. Like, this is the greatest team of all time. The 73-win Warriors finished with a net rating of 11. They are destroying teams on both ends. Like, this is – something's got to give. Like, even – you know, I'll text Zach every now and again. I'm like, yo, come on. Is Tyler back? Even Zach, Mr. Heat Culture Champion himself, is like, yeah, nah, be chill.
I think with Tyler Hero, we need to relax a little bit Just because, look, man, we've seen what happens when he gets a big head about himself, right?
I feel like he's always had a big head.
He is out here dancing, bro. Oh, no. Like, he is out here wilding. Tyler Hero's
wilding. He had a big head when he was succeeding in the bubble playoffs, too. Like, that dude was born with a big head.
And then what happened? And then he was garbage for an entire season. So I think it's great. He's had a great start to the season. I believe in the Heat. But
we need a little bit
more sample size of Tyler Hero this before.
Here's why they're legit. We know this team is going to play defense, right? We just know it.
Locking up.
It's DNA, right? That's who they are. Kyle Lowry, for all his greatness and championships and money, is still a second round draft pick trying to make his way at heart, right? Which means he going to get after you on defense. But you add to that their ability to score, the diversity of how they can attack. I mean, Kyle Lowry just might hit 7 threes on you one game. And then the next game is going to be Bam. And then the next game, it's Tyler and Duncan, right? And then the next game, Jimmy is just chilling until he needs to in the fourth quarter. They just have such a diverse attack. This team is crazy good.
You can tell they're great offensively because Kyle Lowry doesn't even try to take shots. He's taking like 9 shots a game. He's like, I'm just going to set these guys up. I don't need to do much myself. Just stay out of the way.
He gets the ball up the floor so fast with these look aheads. Like, it's changed the dynamic. Like, they didn't have that with Goran, who was really good for him. And they certainly didn't have that with Kendrick Nunn. And this is just another, like, the Heat playing with pace is kind of odd. Like, the way that they attack on this off of misses, off of turnovers, like, they're just looking to get the ball up the floor.
And they should. They've got Bam, who can play super fast. Jimmy, who benefits with easy looks. They've got shooters with Robinson and Hero and Lowry. Like, and Spoelstra's probably the best coach in the league for my money. give him a roster this loaded, and he's going to make some magic happen.
Now, they don't have a ton of depth, Marcus, so are you worried about anything in that department?
Yeah, they're pretty old, and eventually some of these guys kind of tick away. But, man, I don't think it matters. I think this team is built for the postseason. I don't think it even matters. I think they're built for the postseason because they play D, and they can score in different ways. You want to run, they can run. You want to play half court, they can do it. So as long as they're healthy by the postseason, it kind of doesn't even matter. And the truth is, they're not like shooting it lights out. Some of the guys are still like scuffling, just finding their rhythm shooting. So we still haven't seen peak everybody's hitting, right? Like four or five guys like really on fire. Like you still haven't seen that. All they're doing is setting what they know they'll be able to do in the playoffs. Right. So now they'll know in the playoffs, you can go here, you can go here. And in the end, Kyle Lowry is a champion. Right. So he's going to like this team is loaded. It's built for the playoffs. I feel like as long as they make the playoffs, which is kind of a foregone conclusion at this point, nobody wants to see
that. I feel like this is a team that will scuffle for like a 500 record for like a month and a half in the middle of the season because somebody's hurt. They don't have much depth. And then they'll get to the playoffs and they'll be like, oh, yeah, there's that team from the beginning of the season when everybody was healthy. They're tough as hell. They have a lot of guys who can play. And Hero's the one.
But hold on, does Heat culture welcome like Swaggy Hero? Like, I thought y'all dealt with that. I thought Heat culture kind of handled that.
What do you think Jimmy Butler does?
I mean, Jimmy on waiters multiple times. They are huge fans. Like huge fans of guys with big heads.
Just to your guys' point, Duncan Robinson 34% from three right now. He hasn't even gotten.
He's not even hitting yet.
Yeah. I think and there was one person. Jade, I can't remember. Maybe you can find it for me. There was one person on Buds who said the Heat would be in the NBA Finals. I can't remember, but we'll find it later in post production.
It was one guy.
Yeah, it was probably Trey. It probably wasn't me.
It's the same guy who said they'd be there last year.
Let's go to the East champ. Who's everyone got for the Eastern Conference champion?
I got Milwaukee.
All right, Dave's got the Bucks. Jay,
I got the Nets.
James,
Milwaukee.
Jovan?
Nets.
Me is the tiebreaker. Oh, shit. Heat culture, baby. All right, West champ.
I actually like that pick.
West champ. I don't even believe it. I'm just doing it for the show. So good. Same guy that said they'd be there in 2020.
Yeah.
Ah?
One out of two ain't bad.
About to be two out of three, baby.
So basically, you just predicted every year. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, what's the Heat? Heat culture, baby. They'll make it work when Hassan Whiteside's not involved. Coming up, what's wrong with the Boston Celtics? Back after this.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son Evan continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
All right. Take two. What is wrong with the Boston Celtics? As the Bulls and Knicks continue to turn their fates around, the Boston Celtics continue to sink. On Monday, Celtics fell 128-114 to the Chicago Bulls in historic fashion. Boston entered the fourth quarter with a 14-point cushion. Then watched Chicago go on a 19-2 run to take the lead and outscored the Celtics 39-11 over the final 12 minutes to turn a 14-point deficit into a 14-point victory. First time in the shot clock era, a team lost by 14-plus after leading by 14-plus entering the fourth quarter.
Wow, this is I've never seen a turnaround like this before, Mike.
Boston led by as many as 19 at one point in the third quarter, and Marcus Smart had this to say after.
You guys have been through tough battles. You've won playoff games. You've won conference finals games. Why now in the fourth quarter of this game does it seem like you guys are panicking?
I don't know. I think if we knew that answer, we wouldn't be here talking about it now, would we? But, you know, it's something that we gotta fix. Whatever we have to do, we gotta figure it out. You know, nobody's gonna figure it out for us. And sometimes, you know, before, you know, I always tell people, before you see a rainbow, it has to rain.
It has to rain. He added, I can only do so much standing in the corner.
There's so much I can do without the ball in my hand. I just sit and in the corner. We run in plays for our best players. Every team knows that. We do a good job of shutting that down.
He wants the ball, Jay King. So what is happening with your Boston Celtics?
Is there anyone there?
Yes, what do you see?
Iceberg, run ahead!
Thank you.
Everything is going wrong. I mean, they have the fourth worst defense in the entire league, which is unacceptable. When you start Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, and Robert Williams, you should be much better than that. Like, that's those five guys enough should be enough to give you at least a mediocre defense. They've fallen apart several times already. Their offense gets really stagnant, especially late in games. They've got Ime Udoka just taking shots at people. They've got Marcus Smart now taking a shot at Ime Udoka and the two stars on the team and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. There's a lot going wrong in Boston. There's a lot to figure out. I thought they would start slowly because, you know, Jaylen Brown and Al Horford missed most of preseason with COVID. Ime Udoka, new coach, new system.
You know, like I said with the guys, it's a big picture approach. We're playing the right way, haven't closed out a few for whatever reason. And as long as we're heading in the right direction and continue to go toward our goals, I think that's a big picture. It could easily be 4-3, 5-2, and then probably wouldn't be any questions about it. But the fact that we haven't finished, you're going to get these questions, and 2-5 is not up to our standard or where our guys would like to be, honestly.
They're using guys in different ways. They don't have Kemba Walker next to Brown and Tatum to make things easier for those guys anymore. But it has not gone well so far.
Well, so this is interesting because it is a very process versus results, except the process and the results are ended up in the same place here, Marcus. But they have like, all right, they blow a 14-point lead in the going into the fourth quarter and lose by 14, right? Historic fashion. They lose two double overtime games.
Grab a single defensive rebound in that quarter.
Oh, you know, losing two double overtime games where Jason had a game-winning shot opening night against New York, and then Jaylen had a chance to win it against Washington. And then you look at last game where we were up 19.
Well, there weren't a whole lot of misses by Chicago in that quarter either, so that's gonna hurt that. But Marcus, like, there's a real like coin flip scenario where instead of 2-5, they're 5-2. But we have these ill feelings about the Celtics because now they're talking about it.
It doesn't feel like that, right?
No, it doesn't
feel like
that
right there.
Yeah.
I definitely think they feel the pressure, but it's very clear if there's a dysfunction happening like behind the scenes. It's clear it's not clicking yet. I mean, credit to Marcus Smart for the epic self-awareness because he's making like a third of his corner threes. So he probably has maxed out on what he could do from there. But there's something – I think it's good that he said something. I don't know about what he said, but – They definitely can't act like this is all fine. The right. Odd part is, I don't know how accurate it is or not, but to me, it feels like the one who really has the gripe is Jaylen Brown. Like, Tatum has taken like 50 more shots, shooting at a way worse percentage. It feels like Jaylen Brown probably needs to take more shots. He's the one whose game has improved enough to be kind of a frontline guy. So it's weird that Marcus Smart feels like, yo, I need to be doing more, but there's just a dis-ease there. Like, there's something happening behind the scenes where it's like, yo, this is not together. And I hate to say that because Ime Udoka is married to Nia Long, who's the greatest actress in American history for young black males in the 90s.
Well, also, so it's a,
right. That's the real tragedy here.
You got to understand where Smart's coming from, too. Udoka promised him, you're going to be point guard this year. We're going to put the ball in your hands more. Then he suspended Smart in preseason. And now Smart is in a smaller role even than he had before Kemba Walker left, with a smaller usage rate, fewer assists, doesn't have the ball as much. And so there's a lot going on in Boston. So I understand why Smart's frustrated. I understand why everyone's frustrated. What's funny about it is, you know, he threw Tatum and Brown under the bus. The Celtics have been very good with Tatum and Brown both on the court. It's when they go to the bench that things have really
disintegrated, falling apart. But crunch time too, like things have to be better. Things have to be better execution, and they need to get better shots. Yeah, is
three
it,
of
is,
their top five offensive shooters are shooting below 40%. Like, you got to start making some shots before you start talking.
Yeah, but that worked for the Celtics in the 50s, you know?
Just throwing maybe it back it's just to a Kuzi. Throwback.
Yeah, maybe it's just a Kuzi. They're trying to, they saw all that Kuzi praise for the top 75 at 75.
Kuzi makes it. Bob Kuzi with a great hand tonight of 16 points. Mr. Basketball, Bob Kuzi with 16 points here in this first half.
Got him an MVP.
Of course, the other teams were also shooting 32%.
Yeah, that's the problem. So yeah, the other teams were also dribbling like Stanley from The Office. Like, it didn't quite have the same thing going against you. Zach LaVine would have been tried as a witch if he was back there in the 50s going against these guys.
Even for dribbling with his left hand.
For 80.
Right. So real quick, Jay, do you think the bigger issue is the defense or the ball movement?
Defense needs to shore up. Like, 27th is unacceptable. That's so bad. They've given up so many points in transition, so many points in the paint. They've gotten just destroyed by Trez. They've gotten destroyed by DeRozan and LaVine in transition. I think that's where it needs to start, because they're not going to be a team that has a great half-court offense. Like, they have too many bad shooters, Marcus Smart, Josh Richardson, Dennis Schroeder, to be a good half-court offense. They need to get stops and get out and run, and they haven't done that yet.
I don't know, man. It might be it feels like they're clearly not this bad defensively, right? It feels like...
I don't know, man. They look pretty bad defensively.
They do, but I think it's because they suck offensively.
And oh, it's like, you think it's like carrying over?
Yeah, they're not even trying, because they're pressing on, what are they, like the 20th ranked offense?
Yeah.
I feel like if they need somebody to get hot, have a good game, and, you know, then they start slapping the floor. And then well, they
were
to the
hot last game,
defense.
And then they gave up 39-11 run in the so fourth much. Quarter.
Not a single defensive rebound.
I mean, can
rebound.
You be mad? It's the Bulls. We've already talked about this. You can't be mad that they got boat raced by the Bulls in the fourth.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
That was at home, unbelievable. Yes, you can. Unbelievable. At home. Just, I've never seen anything like it. 39-11.
DeRozan, the hilarious part, DeRozan gets the wide open three from the corner, remember? And it just, like, it was a shot clock violation. He had the ball in there.
Yeah.
He gets the exact same shot.
Like, exact same shot. Next
exact possession. Same shot, exact same spot. It was like the Celtics were like, dude, we feel bad that you didn't get that off. How about you try it again?
You should have gotten it in spirit. Here you go. You can get another one. Yeah. Maybe the issue is the ball, guys. Take three. Ball of confusion. Wilson! NBA players are finicky when it comes to the basketball. Several years back, the NBA tried to change to a synthetic ball. Players hated it so much, the league switched back to their original leather ball mid-season. In fact, Steve Nash was complaining that it was cutting up his hands, cutting his fingertips with that new ball, that new composite ball. Is it happening again? Quote, offense is down around the NBA with players shooting 34.2% on three-pointers this season, down from 34.6% last season and 35.8% from the bubble season. The offensive decline has been blamed on the short offseason or the new foul call interpretations. However, last week, NBA trainer Drew Hanlon posted another theory. A lot of people are talking about the rule changes resulting in less free throws, but not much has been said about the ball change, which has clearly made a huge impact. Clippers All-Star Paul George had this to say. Not to make an excuse or anything, but I said that about the ball. It's just a different basketball. The NBA ended its decades-long relationship with Spalding to introduce Wilson as the new maker of the official NBA basketball. Marcus, let's get the ball rolling on this discussion. Did the NBA drop the ball on this?
They didn't drop the ball, but I do think this is a composite issue.
Oh, wow.
No, listen, I remember the synthetic thing was a big deal. Remember that?
The only thing to fear is sphere itself.
This is
the sphere, you know. It's
this is
work on it. We'll fix that in post. Jade, cut that out.
I quit. Remember the ball was getting stuck, the previous ball, they were complaining about it.
Yeah.
They couldn't do the spin off the, and I remember thinking, y'all crazy. And I remember like talking with a player, I remember being at the Oracle and talking with a player, like, the difference. And those balls came with an automatic grip, basically.
Yeah.
And the original balls are so slippery. I don't even know how they play with them. Remember Nash used to lick his hands?
Yeah, because once you get a little moisture, it sticks.
Yeah, they sweat into it and it sticks. The point is, like, it's a big deal. Not like it's a reason to miss. It's just something they have to get used to because they are creatures of habit. It is a thing. It would be kind of like if we're playing with a ball and then Jay can't make a shot and he takes his ball home. Please. And now we're stuck with the other ball. You know what I'm saying? Now everybody got to get used to the new ball from the scrub who ain't playing. This ball is brand new.
Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of like that. It'll take some time.
Yeah.
But Jay takes his ball home because he can't make a shot. You know,
can't make a shot. Yeah, Jay can't make a shot. He just pouts and takes his ball home.
If I took the ball home, it's because you guys didn't give any comp for me.
Chill down,
Marcus
Smart.
Because we left you standing in the corner.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's my theory on the ball. Because allegedly, it is the exact same makeup, exact same everything as the Spalding ball. That was according to the NBA. However, teams have only had these basketballs since around like April or May to start breaking them in. If you talk to an NBA player, no veteran wants to shoot with a new basketball, even if it's a Spalding ball. Yeah. Like they want that thing broken in. And so I don't know that any of these are properly broken in right now.
Yeah, that's my theory too, because if you've shot around with one of the new NBA balls, the old ones at least, the Spaldings, like they felt so gross in your hands. They were so slippery. And so maybe it's just that they need to get beat up a little bit.
This is the lowest 3-point percentage in the NBA since the lockout season in 98-99.
I mean, Steph is sub 40% from three. And
that's how you know. Yeah.
That's how you know. That's a catastrophe for him.
Yeah. it is wild. Like, I do wonder, I don't think, because they can't go back to the old ball. You got a sponsorship with Wilson now. It's not like, hey, sorry, we got to break this contract and go back to the Spalding ball. That's not a solution. So I don't know what they do. I don't know if you like take every equipment manager and just, is there a simulation? You know how you like shake a paint can when you're buying paint at like a store, they'll put it in that machine, shake it. Can you do that with a basketball? You need to like get some kind of thing, some kind of contraption that just like speed dribbles this thing for hours a day to break it in.
Man, just let a bunch of kids come take the ball and
then
bring them back.
You can't have those nasty kids and they're gross germs just let them and everything. Come take the ball, it's COVID. Halloween party week has wrecked this week of basketball. No. We've got everyone getting out with COVID. We got Aaron Rodgers got COVID now and he was immunized.
He was immunized.
Yeah, and he needed alternative treatment too.
He was immunized.
Yeah.
He had some kind of composite synthetic vaccination.
He's like, I've taken a shot. You didn't know a shot was. I mean, I'm taking a shot. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I got that thing. Do we think this is going to get better this season, or is this going to be something that maybe this season is going to be rough for everybody, and then next season things will be back on track?
It'll get better this season. I think part of it is there was a quicker turnaround than normal. Part of it is there's fans at games again, which I think it was easier to shoot when there weren't fans at games. And part of it is there's more physical play. So it's not just the ball that has changed. There are a lot of different factors that are going into the shooting dipping a little bit. And then I'm sure it gets in guys' heads when they're at 34, 35%. They're like, I'm a 41% shooter normally. Like, this isn't great. But I think, you know, offense always corrects itself like a month, 2 months into the season and start getting much better as the defense slips a little bit, as guys get, you know, more used to whatever they're doing in the system.
Shape, yeah.
Yeah.
I do think it'll fix, right? I mean, I just think we kind of underestimate. These dudes are like golfers in their clubs, man. Like, it's very fine. It's down to the fine tuning of it. It's, you know, it's meticulous. So they'll adjust. They're professionals. They'll get over it. And the dudes who can really shoot will figure it out. What I'm curious about is why it doesn't affect dribbling. Shouldn't there be more turnovers?
Great question. That's a great question.
I couldn't dribble them old Spalding balls either.
Well there are more turnovers too, aren't there? Yeah, I think there are more turnovers.
It might be.
You ever dribbled them slippery ball? Like, dude, I couldn't do it. I'm like,
what you guys talking?
Like hocking loogies in my hand.
Lick your fingers and it's fine.
You can't lick your fingers. That's disgusting.
Not in COVID.
What do you mean? Like, Steve Nash did, won two MVPs.
Yeah, he was disgusted too.
That, like, that shit was nasty. He really just licked his fingers.
He's doing it constantly. He's just literally in the middle of the game. He's constantly. Probably at the park doing it. He's playing like at Boston.
He'd be mid move, like stepping on needles all over his fingers.
Yeah, you got to keep that thing on a string, man. I definitely think that this issue, players will bounce back.
Jade, stop the clock. Time for a commercial. We get back. The Jazz are on the clock.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Both for me, and I'll set you free.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
And back, Jazz on the clock. The Utah Jazz are 6-1, tied for the best record in the NBA and in the West with the Golden State Warriors. So what's happening in Utah? This is from Tony Jones of The Athletic. Quote,
"We might be seeing the best season of Gobert's career. He's currently leading the league in rebounding 17 boards per night. He's averaging 16 points per night, which would represent
a career high. His PER is 28.65, which is sixth in the league. He's blocking almost 2 shots per game. Most thought this would be the season Donovan Mitchell steps forward and takes a jump at superstar status. Not many thought Gobert would be that dude, but here we are." Jones appeared on this week's Hoops Adjacent and had this to say. Jay, play the tape.
The question, like, how long can they wait? How long will they wait? You know, this group's been together now for the last 3 years, basically, which is an eternity in the NBA. The nope. Yeah, I mean, if and they don't win
I
this year.
I thought Joe was gone. Yeah,
no, it's TNT gone. Time this if they the don't year. Win this year, right?
And I'm going to tell you, there's a non-basketball reason why this is the year. And this is the year because next year, if the Jazz don't get out of the luxury tax, they're going to be in the repeater tax.
Ah, right, right, right. Okay.
So they weren't.
And they're not going to be.
I thought she was
going to
be like, if this is the year, if not, because I'm out. I wanted to announce that I was. You know, I thought she was about to make a grand announcement.
If this ain't the year, man, I'm sick of this.
I'm gonna go cover the Utes. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
y'all
I'm a free agent with any team want a G.
Catch me in the BYU press box.
This is the year. The Jazz fell to the Clippers in last season's playoffs after being up 2-0. Some call it a collapse. Some call it an epic collapse. As David Aldridge mentioned, this core group has been together for a while now. So Marcus, can the Jazz jump the hump this year?
What's the hump? Is it like Western Conference Finals?
They got to at least get to that, right? At this point, they have to at least. There is no clear cut in the West. Like you have, if they don't get to the Western Conference Finals and they lose the same way they always do, like I'm done doing this with them in general. I'm mad at Jade for putting this on the rundown. I'd say, like, I don't want to talk about the Jazz. No offense. You're really good. You got good players. I get all that. It's not that you're not good. It's that you do the same shit every single year. You start out with a good season, great season. Oh, here come the Jazz. Things have changed. And you get to the playoffs. It's the same shit every single year. And I'm sick of it, Marcus. I don't want to talk about them unless they completely change something. Other than that, I have no thoughts.
Zach, I thought that's what happened. I'm sitting here scouring the web like, what the hell happened with the Jazz? What did I miss? Did something happen? Are they fighting? I didn't know what happened. I'm with you. Like, I don't think they can. I just don't think they can. I don't think they have enough offensive creators. They're relying on Donovan. I just don't think they can.
Just lost Whoa. To Kawhi. They just lost to the Clippers without Kawhi last season. Rudy Gobert gave up 39 points to someone who was out of the rotation
Jay, I don't know if you know this. Rudy Gobert's not at fault for anything.
I'm not doing it with the Jazz.
Ask anybody that covers the Jazz. It's not Rudy Gobert's fault.
I tried to warn you all last year.
You did. This is actually one of the few times Jay's been right.
They were just the 2015 Hawks. That was too far. They played great regular season basketball, and they're destined to get wiped out of the playoffs by a team with a better best player than theirs. That's the thing. I did this with the Bucks. A lot of people did this with the Bucks. People wanted to see the Bucks win in the playoffs first before they take them seriously. The Bucks had the two-time MVP. The Jazz don't have anywhere close to that. Rudy Gobert is not close to that, despite what the advanced stats people will tell you. Mike Conley looks great, though. And Rudy Gay, I think, will help once he gets healthy again.
That's the thing.
That's the part.
But the problem for me is like, all right, they just ran it back, basically. They're like, yo, no, this year, Mike Conley's going to be healthy, and 35-year-old Rudy Gay is here. Like, so we're good. Like, you didn't even do anything. You just brought back the same team. Like, and hoped old people are standing up at the end of the year.
By the way, look, if we're just going to be complete Jazz haters on this segment, right? Here's who they've beaten so far: Thunder, Kings twice, Nuggets after Jokic got hurt at halftime, didn't come back, the Rockets, and the Bucks were down like three starters.
Frauds.
Whoa!
Always have been. Look,
I get the frustration for like Jazz fans. I get the frustration because this is a really good team. Right, it's a really good team.
Great to watch too. I love watching them play basketball.
Nobody's saying they're champions.
It's fun basketball, man. It's fun basketball.
Nobody's saying they're champions. They just are who they are. They're a really good regular season team.
You can't believe in them until they show something. I mean, Jay nailed it on the head. Like the Bucks going into last season, it was like, I'm not doing this with the Bucks anymore until they prove it. They proved it. Now they got a little lucky, but most champs have to get a little lucky, right? And so maybe the Jazz will be in that mode as well. Maybe they'll either get that luck or, ideally, look, I don't. It's not that Rudy Gobert should be absolved of any of this stuff because, yes, the front line, like the backcourt defense,
the defense at the point of attack for this team now.
No, but it was really bad in the playoffs last year. But you know how you stop the other team from going small? Catch the ball at the rim and dunk on them every time because you're a foot taller than those guys. And Rudy Gobert doesn't do that. So it's not even the defense at this point. He has to make them pay on offense. And if he doesn't do that, and it's not post him up and have him be Hakeem Olajuwon, it's run to the rim, seal, catch the ball, keep it high, dunk on him.
It's like, give Donovan Mitchell somebody. Yeah, that's what, give him somebody. Like,
because,
that's it.
Because you do that four or five possessions in a couple of minutes against a team going small, they're not going to go small anymore. Yeah, and now you can go play your defense the way you want to play.
I almost feel bad for the Jazz.
You think when they play the Warriors are going to run big out there?
Yo, that's the thing.
If they five guards out there.
If they face the Warriors in the playoffs, that might get real bad.
I almost feel bad for them. We really put them on as a topic because they had a hot start, and then we just shit it on them.
Right. No, Jazz fans are going to be super mad at this. And Jazz fans, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. We were the wrong three people to talk about this segment. And again, blame Jade. That's all Jade's fault. It's not our fault for being Jade.
I don't know why they're here.
It's not our fault for being Jazz haters here.
Great regular season, too.
Yo, man, love watching them in the regular season. Playoffs, they have
them. That's the thing. Was amazing.
They got to show us that. They have to show us that in the regular or in the playoffs. If they don't, then it's going to be the same conversation next year.
Hey, guys, you know what? If I'm being completely honest with you, I think Jazz fans are with us.
Yeah, you might be right. Oh, I like that.
I think they're like, yeah, Jazz, y'all got to show us up, too.
No, it's just you can't blame Rudy Gobert for anything. You can't.
It's Rudy's fault, you dog.
It's not Rudy's fault.
Nothing is Rudy's fault.
Nothing is Rudy's fault. You can't do it.
Jazz fans want more, baby.
Take five. Thank you.
more than a prop. In an excerpt published by GQ for Scottie Pippen's upcoming memoir, Unguarded, the former Bulls small forward sounded off on his former teammate, Michael Jordan, regarding the documentary The Last Dance. Pippen reiterated his displeasure with the highly acclaimed doc and Jordan for what he believed was favoritism in a documentary that was supposed to be about the Bulls team of the 90s and not just a glorification of Jordan. I'll remind you, when Scottie Pippen was trying to sell whiskey earlier this year, he went on this tour. Now that he's trying to sell a book, he's going back on this tour. Quote, producers, maybe he used the whiskey to write the book. Who knows? Quote, producers had granted Jordan editorial control of the final product. The doc couldn't have been released otherwise. Michael was determined to prove to the current generation of fans that he was larger than life during his day and still larger than LeBron James, the player many consider his equal, if not superior. Quote, I was nothing more than a prop. His best teammate of all time, he called me. He couldn't have been more condescending if he tried. Pippen went on to allege that Jordan was paid $10 million for the documentary. Marcus, sour grapes, or to the winners, go the spoils.
Man, I absolutely have sour grapes, because where's my excerpt in GQ? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here?
Where the fuck is my copy of the book, Marcus? I gotta go to a bookstore during COVID and buy this thing?
I'm just saying, holler at GQ. They out here giving out excerpts to superstars and not calling me. What's up with that? Look, first off, everything he said might be true,
yeah,
but it's also true. Jordan was larger than life.
Yeah.
Everybody else was a prop. Like, what are we talking about?
This is my thing. He's like, well, that was just Jordan's opinion on what happened. It's like, yeah, that's what I tuned in for. I just want to see Jordan's opinion on what happened. Like,
also,
Jordan made a documentary to make himself look like a star. Like,
oh, what Judd Bushler sounds like in this thing? No one gives a shit about Judd Bushler, no offense.
I also loved the part where he said that Jordan called him his best teammate of all time. And that was that's so not condescending. Like that is a legitimately good compliment.
I thought it was high praise. Yeah.
You're in the Hall of Fame with six rings, top 50, top 75. What are you doing, Scotty?
Jordan literally was like, there is no Jordan without Pippen. And he was like,
it's like, this motherfucker.
How dare you?
Here's the thing, though. Did you guys read that story? Because he said Jordan got paid $10 million. $10 million for the documentary. And nobody else got a dime. I would be mad,
I would be mad as hell.
It's about the money. And also, this is a sign that pettiness knows no ends, man. Like, these guys won six titles together. They were perfect together on a basketball court. And what is it, 25 years later, and they're beefing with each other because of documentary that hyped up their team more than any team could ever be hyped up? Pettiness knows no bounds.
I wonder, because Pippen shits on Jordan every chance he gets now. He's always talking about LeBron's the greatest and all this stuff. I wonder if, is this just Pippen still being mad that he signed a bad deal in his playing days? And then it was really hammered home in that documentary. It was really hammered home. But Marcus, like, I wonder if this is just him being mad about his bad deal.
Yeah, I think he's just perennially, like, mad at being the GOAT of number twos, really, right? Like, yeah. But he knows in his heart he will never be number one because Jordan is number one. And there's got to be a part of Pippen that was like, man, if I just got a shot somewhere else and not at like 39, like when I went to the Blazers.
He did. I probably he did. And then Tony Kukoc took that shot.
he didn't want the shot. He passed it up. But it's actually a little bit, man, the crazy part is I don't know why Pippen doesn't embrace this. I don't know why he doesn't celebrate this. Like, he is literally the prototype of a Robin. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's incredible. He need to ride this thing out. I would be latching myself to Jordan. Like, forget what? That.
Yeah,
if Jordan got 10 million, he'd be like, Mike, get me 5.
I'd be like Charles Oakley just next to Jordan whipping people's ass if they did anything
wrong.
You
know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what
I'd be riding this thing out. Yo, like,
that's
what?
The real ultimate job right there, right? It's just being Charles Oakley.
It's crazy that Pippen's on-court persona was always perfect for the number two role, but he still always hated it. Like there's just such a stark difference there between the way he was on a basketball court and the way he feels in his head that he should get so much more credit, that he should have been doing all these other things. But on the court, he just did whatever he needed to do. It's kind of impressive that he put it all aside for his whole career, even though he was like this.
He's a clear number two, a clear number two on that team, and he still made top 75 all time. I mean, if he could have been a number one somewhere and been a Hall of Famer and still not made top 75. Right, there's a lot of dudes who are in the Hall of Fame, had their own team, had all the trappings, and are not on that list. And here this guy is. He was on top 50, and now he's on top 75. He will always be in the top as the number two.
That top 50 list in the middle of their run. Yes. So it's not like he was like all said and done, like middle of their run. They're like, nope, Scottie Pippen, top 50.
No, he is way more appreciated than he acts. Like, he is way more appreciated.
Jay mentioned Charles Oakley. I just want to recount one of my favorite Charles Oakley stories of when John Sally was joking around with Michael Jordan, talking about Kobe Bryant. He's like, at 27, Kobe would have given you the business, and Charles Oakley was standing there and just immediately punched John Sally in the stomach for joking like that. That is the true essence of a Charles Oakley with Michael Jordan.
That man, if I'm Pippen, that would have been me. I'd be mad at Charles Oakley for taking my spot. You know how much money Pippen could have got?
No, Marcus, you can't get mad at Charles Oakley. That's a dangerous game. You can't. That's not going to do anything. Yeah, that's not going to do anything good for you.
Yeah, there's no win there, right?
No.
You got to let it ride.
That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and of course, be sure to check out the NBA Daily Ding right here on the Athletic NBA Show feed. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for the book Dynasties, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.